In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Jesus prayed, "I have manifested your name to the people whom you gave me out of the world. Yours they were, and you gave them to me, and they have kept your word. Now they know that everything that you have given me is from you. For I have given them the words that you gave me, and they have received them, and have come to know in truth that I came from you. And they have believed that you sent me. I am praying for them." Jesus is praying for you. On the night when he was betrayed, just before going to the Garden of Gethsemane, he prayed for you. As his heart began to pound harder and harder until he would sweat the first drops of blood to be shed that holy night, he prayed for you. His mind was not trying to think of ways to avoid the arrest and the trial ahead. His heart was not bitter because one of his own disciples would betray him with a kiss and the rest would abandon him, deny him. His words were not on a curse on the wretchedness of mankind whose betrayal and denial of God would require so great a price as the crucifixion and condemnation of the only Son of God, the only true good man alive. No. His heart and his mind and his words were focused in prayer for you. Because you need his prayer. And what was that prayer? That you would be kept in his word. And in that word, receive eternal life. And this is eternal life, Jesus prayed to the Father, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. Jesus prayed that you would be kept in his word, because Jesus' word is your life. If you don't hear that word, you don't have Jesus' forgiveness or life or salvation. You must receive that word of Jesus to receive the benefit of everything that Jesus has done for you. On Maundy Thursday, Jesus would rise from prayer and go to the garden, go to suffering, go to his death to atone for all of your sin, the Paschal Lamb's perfect life sacrificed to save your own. Yet if the word of that Lamb's blood never washed over your ears, your flesh would still stand before God as unclean as an unburied corpse. On Good Friday, Jesus' nail-pierced heel would crush that ancient serpent Satan's skull, drain its venom into his own veins. He would defang and declaw that roaring lion so that it could not devour you nor tear you away from God's flock. Yet if that word of freedom, the word of freedom from the devil's deadly maw, was never proclaimed to you, you would still cower before its roaring. Cower even though the devil's threats are empty, since Jesus has silenced his snarling accusations. If you were never equipped with the creedal confession of the faith, that confession would not shield you from the evil one's flaming darts. If you were never taught to handle the word that is the sword of the Spirit, you could never wield it in prayer to fend off the devil's provocations and harassment. I mean, how could you resist him? How can you stand firm in a faith that you don't really know or understand? On Golgotha, Jesus' body hung as blood-red fruit on the cruciform tree of life, a body and a blood of which one can eat and drink and live forever. Holy food, a healing meal hosted by Jesus himself, a table shared with all the company of heaven in the direct presence of God, a communion closer than any other by which we are made one, even as the triune God is one. Yet if that instituted word was never spoken at any supper, your soul would still be starving. You see? Nothing that Jesus won for you would do you any good if the word was never spoken to you, preached to you, applied to you, declared of you? None of the gifts that Jesus gives would be given to you. Apart from the word of Jesus, you would still stand condemned in your sin without hope or comfort of eternal life to come. For you to live and not die, you must receive the word of Jesus. Jesus' word is your life. And that's why Jesus is praying for you. That's why he prayed for you that night. He wants you to live by his word. And Jesus' prayers have been answered. The Spirit has done his work on you. You have now received that word of Jesus, and you have come to know the truth that he is both God and man, our brother and our Lord. You believe that he is the Christ sent from the Father to fulfill all of his promises, to save us from sin and bring us back to himself. You believe that through cross and tomb, Jesus defeated death for you, so that just as he has been raised from the dead, never to die again, so shall it be for all who believe in him. You too shall rise. Your dead flesh has been washed with the word in the water of baptism. There the Spirit cleansed you of all sin, brought you to life, created the faith within you that receives his word. You've been taught the word of truth, so that you know who your triune God is, your creator and your savior and your sanctifier. Through the mouth of your pastor, Jesus' word has declared you forgiven of all of your sins, so that the devil has nothing left to accuse you of. And you've been fed that word from this altar in the Lord's Supper to strengthen and preserve you in true faith unto life everlasting. All of this Jesus has given to you in his word, by his word, so that you would live in his word. Jesus' word gives you life. And Jesus' word defends and sustains your life as well. Jesus didn't give you his word for you to sit on and neglect and forget. That roaring lion is still after you. The world is still peddling its poison to you. Your flesh is still struggling with all its might to wrench itself out of God's embrace and flee back to the darkness. Your grave still awaits you. Remember, Jesus' word is your life. And Jesus' word is your life not just because that word makes you alive, but also because you now live according to that word. You don't just get saved and then carry on as you did before. You have a new life now, a new kind of life, a new way of life. Jesus' word gives you life, and that word shapes and defines your new life as a new way of life, a new kind of life that you constantly live now according to Jesus' word, in Jesus' word. So don't fall for the lie that you can live apart from Jesus' word. Don't fall for the lie that once you've heard the word once before, you've plumbed the depths of God's wisdom, and you can figure it out on your own from here and don't need to read or study the word anymore. Don't fall for the lie that once you've tasted and seen that the Lord is good, you can stay away from his table and never weaken from spiritual hunger. Don't get caught in the snare of thinking that you can pick and choose which parts of God's word are worth your time and attention and devotion while discarding the rest. Don't fool yourself into thinking that you can outsmart the devil, that you can dabble in sin and flirt with the world's temptations and slip through all of its snares unscathed. Don't be lulled into thinking that you are somehow a special exception, that you don't need to live an entire life of repentance and faith in the word of Christ. The devil lays all these traps for you. The world baits these traps, And your flesh will fall for these traps every time. All of them aim to ensnare and choke your faith in Christ. But Jesus' word protects your life. Jesus' word protects your life by preserving your faith. The word exposes these snares for what they are so that you can run from them. His word feeds your faith as daily bread so that your faith doesn't wither and disappear, and your eternal life end along with it. When faith dies, so does the soul. But Jesus is the Lord of life. He rose from the dead, never to die again. He ascended into heaven to take his rightful throne at the right hand of the Father. And in the throne room of heaven itself, Jesus continues to pray for you still, so that you may continually live by his word. He prays that you may be sanctified, made holy and worthy by his Spirit through his word of truth. The word that you're hearing today, the word that you read and you study in the Zion of Prayer throughout the week, the word that you read with your spouse, the word that you teach to your children, the word that will call you out of your grave one day to live forever in the new world to come. That same Jesus Christ who once prayed for you in Gethsemane now prays for you in heaven. And that same Jesus Christ is with you now in his word, and he will be with you always, for that Jesus Christ is risen. He's risen indeed. Hallelujah. The peace of God which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. We stand to sing.